Welcome to this service of Matins, service of morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer for Sunday the 7th of March 2021, the third Sunday of Lent. I'm David Minns. When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people being penitent the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Let's join together in the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We're going to join together now with Psalm 19, 7 to 14. We say this responsively if you're able to do that, otherwise just join in as you feel able. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So for our first lesson today, I'm reading from the New Testament, the first New Testament lesson for the day, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Here ended the first lesson. The second lesson is also from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us, since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And here endeth the second lesson. Let's join together in response with the words of the Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We declare our faith in God in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. So the collects, the first of which is the collect for today, the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Join with me with the second collect for peace. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So a brief reflection then on John chapter 2. Our reading this morning, it feels like the question this morning is, will the real Jesus please stand up? Who is this angry man that we see in our gospel reading? Is this Jesus? Can it be loving, kind, generous, gentle Jesus, meek and mild? The writer to the Colossians tells us Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And by him all things were made. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, who bears the image of God. And Jesus in our gospel reading is furious about the way that the things of his Father are being cheapened by human avarice. Commerce has taken over in the temple instead of worship, and Jesus is not happy. And the temple authorities were furious at Jesus. They were outraged at his presumption that he dared to call God his Father, outraged that he made himself equal with God, horrified that a growing number of people were calling him the Messiah. The Jewish authority thought they knew all about the Messiah. Jesus certainly didn't fit that bill. They thought they had all the knowledge and all the understanding and all the wisdom they needed. But as St. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Corinthians, man's wisdom doesn't come close to understanding God. Even God's foolishness, if he had any, would be greater than the best human wisdom. So what looks like foolishness to us may very well be God's wisdom in action. People couldn't see God's wisdom in Jesus, and especially in his death on a cross, it looked like foolishness. There's a similar sense about Jesus these days. Some people think that being a Christian is a sort of a sissy thing to do, that religion is something that, if it's relevant at all, is maybe woman's work, a bit weak. Why is that? Maybe it's because people remember from childhood, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. And we see pictures of a nice, clean, white, well-groomed Jesus, cuddling little lambs and surrounded by happy children. He looked like the kind of man your mum would like you to hang around with, someone who wouldn't say boo to a goose. By sanitising the gospel over the centuries, the church has somehow recreated Jesus as a kindly, benevolent teacher, always gentle, tender and accepting. This Christ would never offend anyone, never judge anyone. He's too nice. There are two problems with this view of Jesus. Firstly, it's not accurate. And secondly, nobody wants to follow a weak person. Weak Jesus is not a true picture of the Jesus we see in the Gospels. Jesus was a tough man. He lived an itinerant lifestyle, walking miles from village to village, often sleeping rough at night. He surrounded himself with his disciples, rough and ready fishermen for the most part, with a few zealous Jewish nationalists thrown in. So, what's the real picture? Is Jesus a lovely, kind and gentle chap, or is he a tough force to be reckoned with? The answer, of course, is that it depends on how you look at it. The Bible shows us both sides of Jesus. If you're a leper, if you're an outcast of society whom no one has touched because you're unclean, if all you've longed for is just a kind word from someone, then Jesus is the very incarnation of tender mercy. Jesus reaches out and touches you. It's such a comfort to know that Jesus is compassionate and kind and seeks to uplift those who are weighed down. We're so blessed that God has not remained aloof in heaven, but through Jesus has walked this earth and known pain and tiredness and overwhelming sadness and rejection and suffering and death. He's done those things. So when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden," he knows what it means to be heavy laden, and he knows what it is to offer rest. God is not aloof from your suffering. God knows. And Jesus offers us compassion and healing. On the other hand, if you're a Pharisee, if you're one of those self-appointed doctrine police, watch out. On more than one occasion, Jesus picks a fight with those notorious hypocrites. Jesus didn't mind offending people, and here he is driving people out of the temple with a whip and throwing over tables in the process. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? The Jesus we have in this story isn't so much the Lamb of God, as John describes him earlier in the Gospel. Rather, what we see here is Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's another name given to him. And like a lion, he does indeed occasionally bare his teeth. It's a furious Jesus who drives the animals out of the temple courts. The anger we see on display here is righteous anger, anger for God. Jesus is not a wimp. He's not afraid to stand up where it counts, where people ignore or show disrespect for God. So what are you looking for in Jesus? If you're in a tough place right now, if you're low or in pain, if you're bereaved or depressed, if you're struggling through this lockdown, which feels like a never-ending version of Lent, then yes, gentle, loving Jesus comes to you and draws you close to him. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if you're looking for strong leadership in a confused world, if you need someone who will show you the right way to live, who will fight against injustice and stand up for God and what is right, then I give you Jesus. Loving Jesus, tough Jesus. And in the end, Jesus, the man who would allow himself to suffer the pain and humiliation of being nailed to a cross and dying so that you and I can be free from sin and come to know God. Now that's what makes Jesus more than a religion, more than a lifestyle. It's how we know that the real Jesus has stood up for you and for me, and on the cross won for us the greatest gifts of peace, forgiveness, and eternal life. So we return to our prayers. Let's pray for ourselves and for the world. We pray to the Lord for courage to give up the distractions of this world and to give ourselves to God this Lent. May the church have the courage to reach out into our communities and to share the love of God as our mission in the world. We pray for our Archbishop Justin, for our bishops Rachel and Robert, that you would give them a big vision of the church in our nation, so that we may better serve you and our neighbours. We pray for the suffering church worldwide in places where it's hard to be a Christian. Give our brothers and sisters strength and courage. Lord, give your world the courage to give up war and bitterness and hatred, to seek peace. We pray for the people of Myanmar, of Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen. We pray for all refugees, wherever there is strife and fear. May the risen Jesus bring peace and reconciliation to a divided world. We pray for the communities of the Churn Valley, and especially any who, after a year of pandemic, may have come to the end of their tether and don't know which way to turn. Lord, may they know your direction and comfort. May they know the support of their community. We continue to pray for our children as they return to school now after a better part of a year of disruption and uncertainty in their learning. We ask your continuing strength and creativity for all who work in schools. We pray for businesses that are struggling and for all who are suffering the stress of debt or may have lost their job. May we know that you walk with us. And we ask your strength and support for healthcare workers who remain stretched at the moment and those working hard to bring us the vaccination. And we ask that as we do eventually return to a more normal life, that we will take care of one another and show love for our neighbours and strangers alike. Help us to live for others, giving time, care and comfort to the sick. We hold before you today those who we know who are in need of our prayers. We pray for Ben and Faith and for Jill. Any known only to ourselves. May the wounded hands of Jesus bring his healing touch and the light of his presence fill their rooms. Give us courage to give up our fear of death and to rejoice with those who've died in faith. Especially we hold before you the families of Carol Varley and Beatrice Hardiman. May the risen Lord Jesus walk alongside the dying and the bereaved in their pain and walk with us all to the gate of glory. We pray for those for whom this is the anniversary of the death of a loved one. giving thanks for the life and praying for the families of Archibald, Stan Biggs, Catherine Gibbs, Stella Baker, Edward Laird, Ronald Luce, and Irene Godsell. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth. Most heartily we beseech thee with thy favour to behold our most gracious Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that she may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts, grant her in health and wealth long to live, strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies, and finally, after this life, she may attain everlasting joy and felicity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray too for the Duke of Edinburgh at this time. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time, with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and has promised that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfil now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And we end with the words of God's blessing. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.